Welcome back. 20 minutes past 9 o'clock. The algorithms have somewhat been directing ads to me, probably because they know I'm South African and I'm struggling with the petrol price. But I've been inundated with either what looks like suspicious-looking Twitter accounts, or whether it be on my Facebook, seeing these ads pop out on the sidebar, or simply the Google ads that come my way when I'm browsing a particular website. Advertising petrol saving pills, fuel saving pills. There's been somewhat of a renewed interest in the market at the moment on fuel saving devices, pills, additives, gadgets being advertised to stretch the fuel in your tank. There's already been several warnings from fuel companies. Okay, they may have a vested interest. Fuel companies, but also governmental departments. The Western Cape Department of Transport has issued a warning to motorists against using so-called fuel saving devices and pills and additives. It says these products don't live up to the promises and they are dangerous. Joining me now is Nicole Lowe, former technical editor at Car Magazine. Straight off the bat, and you'll tell us why afterwards, do fuel additive pulls, devices, potions, do they work?
Morning, Lester. Morning, listeners. No, we should call them rogue devices, eh? They don't work. But yeah, it's very interesting. Let me give you a bit of background.
Sure.
So my previous life at Car Magazine, it tends to, like, I think it's like a 5-year cycle or 10-year cycle. Now with the fuel prices, now every company seems to want to make a quick buck, and fuel-saving devices is one way of doing it. So a couple of years ago, when I was still working at Car Magazine, we had the same question. So we actually went out and bought every device we could find on the market. And with the help of Sasol, we used the independent fuel lab there in Muizenberg to do official fuel testing, fuel consumption testing. And the only way to do this is on an engine dyno in a laboratory. Mm. You cannot test these devices on the road because there's so many variables. Mm. So what we did was we bought, now I talk from fuel additives to the magnets you put around the fuel lines to little fan thing that you put in the intake, the air intake to the engine. We even had a little, it looks like a crystal metal thing that you chuck into your fuel tank. Can you imagine that lies in your fuel tank for the rest of the car's life? That was actually at the time the most expensive. I think it was over 2,000 rands. But they all claim between 5 and 20% fuel saving, which in a time like today, you think, like, yo, I should maybe risk it for a couple of $100.
Yeah.
So what we did was we set up this engine on an engine test stand. As I say, control conditions and also a controlled drive cycle. So first of all, you would run the engine as a baseline test, so with none of the devices fitted. Mm. Then you will run the same test, but you will fit the devices one by one, and you repeat the test each time. And at the end of the test, you also run another baseline test without any devices to check if something's changed from the start to the end. Because obviously it takes a couple of hours, there's atmospheric conditions that can change slightly and so on. So we did all that testing, and can you imagine what the results were?
None of them worked.
None of them work, exactly.
At the tweet here, and it's again one of these tweets that's being shared, and it provides a link to where you can buy it. But it's one of those Twitter accounts with lots of numbers. So the name is @stan30455340, etc., etc., etc. It's one of those Twitter accounts I would usually just ignore. But I see lots of people responding to us. And the message here on this Twitter account is, there's a new tablet for cars. It's called Gaspol. It helps save petrol. I put one for each full tank, and I got 1,200 kilometers from 70 liters instead of 710 kilometers that I normally get. This is a huge saving. I can see that's beer straight from the bat, and based on what you've just said, it confirms that. But someone who is desperate and maybe is not too au fait with petrol engines and the like, maybe has not heard this conversation and your write-up 5 years ago, they're going to see that and say, gosh, yes, anything that can extend my tank a little bit.
Yes, it sounds more like a Leon Schuster prank of a good old days, the poles in the tank, eh? But yes, let's just discuss why these devices do not work. Mm. So they all claim various things. I mean, the magnet says that, no, it redirects the molecules of the fuel when it goes in. You'll get better combustion. The little fan on the intake says that, but it swirls the air going to the engine. That will lead to better consumption. So they've all got believable ways of why it would then improve combustion and save you fuel. But the reality is that in modern internal combustion is so good at extracting the last bit of energy from the fuel. So if you look at the combustion process itself, 99%, even more, of the fuel's energy is actually released during that combustion event in a modern engine. So we know that only a third of the energy actually reaches, a third of the energy reaches the wheels, a third of the energy goes into the cooling system, a third of the energy goes down the exhaust pipe. But the point is, basically, all the energy gets released from that fuel during the combustion process. There's no way of improving it. So if you want to improve it, you can maybe do a 0.1% if some of these rogue devices would work. So if they claim, but no, it affects combustion, you'll get better combustion and you'll save between 5 and 20%. You already know that cannot be, because it's already at 99.whatever%. So there's nothing left to gain from the combustion process itself. And then I also want to talk about the placebo effect. Have you heard about that?
I know the medical placebo effect, but how does it relate to vehicles?
So what happens is, if you spend a lot of money, or you spend money on a device, so you bought one of these devices, installed it in your vehicle. Now you drive this vehicle and you think to yourself, I wonder if this works. And without even knowing, now you're driving slower, you don't press the accelerator so quickly, all that kind of things. And then after the first month, you fill up and say, yo, I've got a 10, 15% saving. And now you actually write in a review to this company to say how great they are, and they saved you so much money. And that's also the reviews that you get published on these certain websites and social media.
So because you actually just changed slightly your behavior.
Without even knowing.
It's like when I buy a new piece of gym equipment to work on my flabby abs. I'm going to be testing it out quite a bit, but actually I'm doing, a bit more exercise that I'm used to. And then I'm going to feel, well, this is actually working. Not because I've been doing a bit more exercise, because I believe that this gadget that I used is helping me.
Exactly. So now you forget about this gadget after a few months, and then your fuel consumption returns to normal, and you wonder, why? What is this happening? We had my predecessor at Car Magazine. He told me the story of a guy who, he really believed in the magnet thing, a magnet that you put around the fuel line. He said, no, that is wonderful. He's saving so much money. So he actually brought the vehicle in, and when I opened the bonnet, the magnet was actually around the brake pipe, not even the fuel pipe. So, I mean, that just tells it all, doesn't it?
But here's a quick question from Kevin, and I have another one to ask. Like, what does save fuel? And Kevin asks, does rolling actually save fuel? And I used to live in a part of Cape Town where if I was at the top of hospital of what was then De Waal Drive, now Nelson Mandela, if I was at the top of Nelson Mandela, I'll slot it into neutral all the way down Hospital Bend. I'm only putting it into gear when I'm taking the turn off at Liesbeek Parkway, which is a fair few kilometers away. Does rolling work?
Okay, so it all depends on the gradient. Because you can't exceed the speed limit, that's one thing. Another thing is the modern engines, if you're sort of on the overrun, so if you're in gear, but you're not accelerating at all, so you're on the overrun, almost using like the engine braking to go down the hill, it cuts fueling completely. But if you put it in neutral and you coast down the hill, then it's actually the engine is still idling. So there's a little bit of fuel going in. So if you need to stick to the speed limit, so it's a very steep gradient, you put it into gear, going down to keep to the speed limit using engine braking, you're actually using less fuel than you would have been in neutral, idling down the hill and be on the brakes, not to exceed the speed limit. But if the speed limit is not an issue, there is a point where rolling would actually start saving you fuel above the idle condition. But I mean, we're talking here about such small percentages, so it's almost not worthwhile.
Okay. So Nicole, if the pulls don't work at all, what does save fuel? And I can only think of two things: regular services and drive slower. Is there anything else that we can do?
Yeah, so I like your service regular, because obviously your vehicle needs to be in good condition. Tire pressures need to be up, all those kind of things. The best way to save fuel is not to drive. So work from home if you can.
There's no electricity at home.
If you need to halve your fuel bill when you're going to work, get a colleague to drive with you. Do car sharing. I mean, I'm driving on the motorways and seeing that one person per car all the time. Why don't we share cars? That's an obvious way to just halve your fuel bill right there. Exactly. Then if we talk about fuel, think about it as energy. So if you've got a heavy car with a big engine and you're driving fast, you're using a lot of energy. Mm. So what you really want is you want a light vehicle with a small engine with low drag, so no roof racks or bull bars or anything like that. And then you need to conserve energy. So people always think, like, okay, I need to treat the accelerator very carefully, which is correct. They think about like having an egg underneath the accelerator and to be very gentle not to crack that egg. So that's correct. But also think of your brakes, because you used all this fuel to build up speed, and now you're wasting everything by just climbing on the brakes at the last minute at the red traffic light. So see if you can time the traffic lights from a long way off. If you see that it's already red, why do you keep accelerating up to the last minute, slamming on the brakes? And then, so think of your brakes as well when it comes to fuel saving. Driving style is actually what will save you the most fuel. But there's no point also having a massive SUV, roof tanks, big engine, big tires, lots of drag. I mean, you can be the most careful driver as you want to, but you'll still use a lot of fuel because a lot of energy is needed.
I think the Afrikaans saying of stadig word die koele is probably the best way to go forward when it comes to using petrol in our vehicles. Nicolo, former technical editor at Car Magazine, really appreciate your time.